My name is Paul, I'm an alcoholic. And we come back after lunch, they're all a little lethargic. I'm going to start off with a little joke. You've heard me before, you might have heard this joke before. There's a guy and he's 90 days sober in the program. He's standing outside the meeting with his sponsor. And the sponsor says to him, "I just think where you were just 90 days ago." And the sponsor says, "Well, actually, I was sitting in a hot tub, half drunk, surrounded by beautiful women in bikinis." And the sponsor says, "Isn't it wonderful that you don't have to live that way anymore today, you know?" See, you may be thinking, is this it? Is this what I've arrived in, the Alcoholics Anonymous? It sounds like nothing but spiritual problem solving, one thing after another. And we've been talking a little bit about Emmett Fox and letting go. And I'm always, one of the stories I always love, we were talking about earlier on, was "The Bear Hugs the Kettle." Have you ever read Around the Year with Emmett Fox? And the story goes like this. There's a bunch of guys out hunting, and they go off the, and they're cooking some food in a big pot. And just, you know, the food's cooking, so they decide to go out and do some more hunting. And a bear comes across this big cauldron, smells of good food coming out of the cauldron. The thing's piping hot, and the bear grabs on. The thing splashes out onto the bear. So the bear grabs the kettle. It burns it some more. So what does the bear do? It grabs it some more, vice versa, to the demise of the bear. And that's such an analogy for Alcoholics Anonymous and the steps of AA. It's all about letting go and letting go and letting go. And it's not easy. When you look at it, it says the 12 and 12. Who wants to admit complete defeat? Glass in hand, their minds warped by alcohol. Who wants to get down on our knees and hand our will and our life over to the care of God? Putting pen to paper, telling another man knee to knee stuff I thought I was going to take to the graveyard. Working on defects, working on shortcomings. Forgiveness, I got to forgive him. Did you not listen to my fifth step? He should be coming to forgive me. I mean, you're not listening to what's going on here. And your sponsor's saying to you, the dirtier the other side of the street is, the cleaner your side has to be. You're on a program today. Taking the high road, taking the high road, taking the high road. And then we talk about going through those first nine steps. And we enter the world of the Spirit. You know, we were talking earlier on there up in Cape Canaveral. The big space rockets, right? I'm dating myself here, the Apollo rockets. And they would take off going to the moon. And they would go a bit and a big part of the booster rocket would fall off. And then the rocket would go a bit further and another piece would fall off. And only this little tiny piece would actually go through the Earth's atmosphere and go all the way to the moon and back. Isn't our program like that? We go through those first nine steps. Letting go, letting go. The hefty bags full of garbage, stuff from the schoolyard. Let it go, let it go. And then I move into the 10th step and I enter the world of the Spirit. And for me, the Spirit is nothing more than entering the world of the present moment. The one place I could never live drinking. I'm always in yesterday full of guilt and shame, remorse. Or I'm in tomorrow full of fear. I was a fearful person. And a fearful person will always find something to be afraid of. There's a bogeyman behind every tree. I thought courage was rolling about a barroom floor, the guy you had a problem with. That just takes you to go crazy for a couple of minutes. Real courage, I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, showing up for life on life's terms, one day at a time, when things aren't going my way, I'm not reaching for a drink. That's the courage I learned in Alcoholics Anonymous. And to live in the one place I could never live, which is the present moment. We were talking earlier on, Eric mentioned it. If you'd have said to me in early sobriety, "Paul, where's the fourth dimension?" I'd have said, "Well, you see out there over the horizon, it might be there, but it's certainly not here." And then you get to find out in Alcoholics Anonymous, a guy explained to me that Einstein talked about the three dimensions of height, width, and space. And he said the fourth dimension is time. So what this program does in these first nine steps, it rockets me into the fourth dimension, which is not over the hills and far away. It's right here, right now, in the present moment. That's where the program of Alcoholics Anonymous wants me to be. That's where I'm most effective. Is God in yesterday? Absolutely. Is in tomorrow? I believe he's infinite. But where do I get the opportunity to embrace his love and grace the most? In the present moment. And that's the hardest place for me to be. Because my disease does not want me in the now. Because here now, everything's all right and everything will be all right. And my disease does not want me here. It wants to torture me with yesterday or terrify me with tomorrow. It doesn't want me in the present moment. And these people help me that. And that's their beautiful promises in the 10th step of our big book. It gives us all these beautiful promises. I can go here and I can do this. And I will recoil from liquor like a hot flame. And so all these beautiful promises. And then there's one caveat. As long as we stay in fit spiritual condition. And that's what I want to do this weekend, guys. If I'm guilty of anything in Alcoholics Anonymous, this program on our 12 steps guarantee me, guarantee you, guarantee us a spiritual awakening. It says it in the past tense, having had a spiritual awakening. I used to think God was sitting off in a cloud somewhere, picking winners and losers in AA. Oh, I like this guy. I'll let him get sober. That guy, Paul McQuaid, I don't like the cut of his jib. Let's put a red line through his name. And I found out in Alcoholics Anonymous that it's a God of unconditional love and nobody gets left behind. You know, you hear rehabs, one out of this and two out of this. My experience in Alcoholics Anonymous, if you go through this program, God does not pick winners and losers. Everybody's entitled to a good life in Alcoholics Anonymous. But if I'm guilty of anything, if I'm guilty of anything, it's so easy when you've been in AA for a while to fall asleep. Especially when you've been here a while. You get a nerd to what's going on. Starts to become like elevator music. You start tuning people in and tuning people out. And that's why you need to be actively sponsored. Because if you look at me, you think, oh, Paul's awake. But I need somebody look at me right between the eyes and they can say, this guy's not here. This guy's sleepwalking around AA. And I've been guilty of that. Totally walking, sleepwalking around AA. And the funny thing about sobriety is life on life's terms. Life's got a sort of, every now and again you get that cosmic 2x4 to the back of the head and all of a sudden you wake up in Alcoholics Anonymous. So I come to AA and I talk to my sponsor and I try to stay current with my sponsor because I don't want to fall asleep in Alcoholics Anonymous. Because falling asleep in AA is like falling asleep behind the wheel of a car. You don't have to be asleep for a long time for something bad to happen. That's been my experience in AA. And this weekend, it's like, you know, what do the kids drink now? Monster drinks and Red Bull. This is like, you know, getting me really spiritually caffeinated here this weekend with you guys. I'm going through difficult times in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's another mistake I had made. I thought I'd go through the steps. I talked about it earlier on. I'd fought these steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way. I did that. And I finally went through the program. I shared about it earlier on, getting over those resentments. And then I thought to myself, now, everything will be wonderful. I'll be a good boy in AA. I'll eat my AA vegetables. And I'll get immunity from life. I'll walk between the raindrops. And everything will be okay. And then you find out in AA that life goes on. That just because I'm sober working a program, it doesn't give me immunity from life on life's terms. It gives me the ability to do what I couldn't do, and that's live life on life's terms. I shared about it earlier on. I thought courage was squaring off to a guy. Courage in AA is showing up for life on life's terms no matter what. And when it came to that type of courage, As an active alcoholic, and I don't like to say this in front of a group of men, I was a devout coward. Because my foot knock on the front door, and I get a bottle of vodka and go out the back window. Oh, I would dress it up. I'm a free spirit. It's no coincidence I'm standing in America with an Irish accent. I was a runner, a long-distance runner, always looking for an outside fix for an inside job. And then you get the Alcoholics Anonymous. You go through these steps, and I find out every time I ran away from life, I was the guy firing the starting pistol. I've been able to go through difficult times in sobriety. Life is not easy. Getting sober is not easy. Staying sober, not easy. You know, it's the old saying in AA, AA is not for people that need it. It's not for people that need it. It's for people that want it. I'll take it a stage further. It's for people that do it. The graveyards are full of people who wanted to be sober. The old joke in AA, if everybody needed to be here, we'd have the meeting in Yankee Stadium, but we don't. We have it in small rooms like this. Because this is not easy. Far from it. Constant pruning, looking at yourself. I mean, you're like, oh my God, when's it going to end? And it doesn't. It's a day at a time. And thank God I don't have to go through this alone. You know what I found out in AA? You know what get a guy like me in trouble when you've been sober a while in AA? Spiritual pride. How can I go to my home group of 20 years sober and tell them my life's falling apart right in the middle of AA? Well, I don't need to do a PowerPoint presentation, but somebody has to know what time of day it is in my spiritual world. And that happened to me. I am so glad to be in AA, because if I'm going through something alone today, it's because I want to. There's not one thing in this world today that I have to go through alone, now that I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember going through difficult times. I'll share a couple of them with you now. I was 20 years sober. And maybe you've heard me share this before. And my life fell apart right in the middle of AA. I found out my wife was having an affair with another guy. Been going on for years. We had a 9-year-old daughter. I said to her, listen, bring it off. We'll go to counseling. We'll make a fresh start. She said, I don't want to. I'm 20 years sober. Who do I turn the gun on? I don't turn the gun on her. I turn the gun on myself. How come I didn't see this coming? I'm not a good AA-er. I'm not working the program right. Maybe this, maybe that. Turning the gun on myself. But thank God the one thing I did, I stayed connected to Alcoholics Anonymous. I stayed connected to my sponsor. I had to move out of the house. I love the unconditional love of AA. There was a guy I knew in AA for years. And I said, I got to move out. I was living in Oceanside at the time. We'd bought a house. I said, I got to move out. He says, where are you moving to? I said, I don't know. And this guy worked in Manhattan, but he lived upstate New York. But he had a little bungalow in Rockaway that he had kept, a little summer place. This guy gets off work at 5:30 rush hour, drives from Manhattan out to Oceanside, even though he lived in the opposite direction upstate, knocks on my door. I opened the door, and he's standing there with a set of keys. He said, it's not much, Paul, but it's there as long as you want it. I packed my bags, moved back into Rockaway. I'm living in this little place. My daughter would come to visit me at the weekends. She's 9 years of age. I'll be putting her to bed at night, Kristen. She'll be saying, Daddy, I don't want to get divorced. I'll be sitting in the living room. But thank God for sponsorship. And my sponsor would say to me, take the high road. I don't want to take the high road. Do you know what happened to me here? Are you listening to what we're talking about? says, Paul, take the high road. Forgive, forgive, forgive. My God, am I so glad I listened to that man. What's that beautiful story in the Bible when Peter's talking to his sponsor and Peter says, how many times should I forgive? 7 times. And the sponsor says, no, 70 times 7. And if you're lucky enough to sleep for 8 hours a day, that's once every 2 minutes. And that's what it was like at that time. Spiritual warfare out there. But in Alcoholics Anonymous, the 10th step tells me, I have ceased fighting everything and everybody. The war was over. Forgive, forgive. My sponsor would say to me, I said, it can't be that simple. He said, everything in Alcoholics Anonymous in our last 3 steps about emotional stability comes down to 2 things. Either you owe an amends or you've got to forgive somebody. I said, it can't be that simple. Try it. I've tried it. Every time I'm emotionally disturbed, I either owe an amends or I got to forgive somebody, including myself. And I took the high road. My God, am I happy I took the high road? Just this year, I'm not saying this for any kudos. My daughter, that daughter that was crying herself to sleep, I don't want to get divorced. She's 20 years of age, a beautiful young woman. Some of you have met her. I'm driving up to college this year, and we're just in the car. And she says, she knows everybody. I didn't tell her. She's old enough, she put 2 and 2 together, and she brought up in the car, and she goes, I'll tell you something, Dad. You know, you really, like, that once I remember you ever throwing her under the bus, and you probably could have. In fact, when I wanted to talk to SHIT about her, you would stop me and say she's doing her best. And I wanted to say to her, I can't take credit for that. Alcoholics Anonymous, they showed me how to do that. They showed me how to show up in the last 3 steps when things are not going my way. And it wasn't pretty. I remember being asked to speak at something one time, and my sponsor says to me, I was talking to him, he goes, oh, you're speaking at that meeting, right? And I says, no. He said, what do you mean, no? I thought you were going to speak at it. I says, oh, I called the guy and told him that I can't do it. He said, what did you do? You called him, why? And I says, listen, Jimmy, my life's falling apart right in the middle of AA. Who the hell wants to hear that message? He looked, you very rarely got angry with me. He looked me dead in the eye. He says, what do you think this is here? You think this is rainbows and unicorns? You think this is skipping off down the road? You know, it's the road of, it's not the yellow brick road. What do you think this is here? So you go to that meeting and you share with those people how you're trying to practice these principles in all your affairs in a very difficult situation. You're not doing it perfectly, but you're trying to do it the best you can one day. Why you go and tell those people that story? And I said, okay, I will. And it wasn't pretty, a little funny. I get to this place, and it was an airport, and the guy was like standing with a thing like this, and it said Paul on it. And I said, yeah, I'm Paul. So we get in the car, it was a small airport, and the parking lot, you could literally walk out of the terminal and walk over to the parking lot where his car was. And he was parked like, literally, it was like a 50 feet walk. So we get in the car, and he says to me, how's it going? I said, how's it going? My wife's leaving me for another guy. My life's falling apart right in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I don't know where. And then I realized, TMI. Too much. And I could feel the guy's eyes burning into the side of my head. And then the guy goes, are you Paul, the guy that's meant to speak at our meeting tonight? As opposed to some wacko who just got off the plane. Hey, I'm Paul, you know. Yeah. Rule 62, we don't take ourselves too damn seriously. And it's amazing, that spiritual awakening. The key to success is to stay awake, as I said. We're talking earlier, maybe talking a little about tomorrow, the joy of living, but I went back to school, we're just sitting on our little breakout session. I was a bartender, didn't even have a high school diploma, 2 years sober. My sponsor suggested, why don't you take a few classes and end up going to college and whatnot, and end up being a teacher. Went from a high school dropout to a high school teacher. And when I first started teaching, I wanted to teach the brightest of the bright, and God had other plans, end up in special education. I work with these beautiful children. They're spiritually pure. They live in the present moment. They don't know. I mean, they do naturally what comes to me unnaturally. So I'm going through this divorce and I'm living off the neck up, where I'm going to be broken, the money and this, and I'm going to, really turn the gun on myself. And it was the penultimate day of school. And this little boy, this little non-verbal Asian autistic boy, and he would talk through his computer. And he calls me over like this, like, I thought there was something wrong. I said, what is it, Stephen? And he pointed to his computer. Pointed to his computer and it said, Mr. Paul, you're a good man. I will go to my grave. See, if I want a message from the higher power, I want two rainbows in the sky. I want a parting of the Red Sea. I will go to my grave and you will not tell me any different that God, who works through people, used that beautiful, non-verbal, autistic boy to tell me everything was going to be okay. Because I knew at that moment, I said, this is God talking. This is my higher. And I knew instantaneously, at that moment, it washed over me, I'm going to be okay. And it was okay. And we all moved down the road. She married that guy. I ended up meeting a girl in AA. And we get married. 20 years younger than me. I've got a kid. I got one kid in college and I got one in the first grade. The jokes write themselves. That was my wife's greatest fear. When Dahlia was born, that she was going to walk in and realize somebody's diaper needs changed. And she's not sure if it's mine or the baby's, you know? And I wouldn't have it any other way. Don't plan. If you're new, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do. If you're new, don't plan for the future. You just shortchange yourself. You have no idea what God's got in plan for you when you're sober and Alcoholics Anonymous. Gifts keep on coming. And sometimes you don't know what's a gift. I thought that was the worst thing. I thought... And who did I know? Once again, life lived forward, understood backwards. The marriage was over. She was just the first one to jump ship. I don't hold any animosity towards her. We live 5 blocks apart in Rockaway. I see her all the time. And even that guy, the resentment. I give this guy, I didn't know who he was. I give him my sleep. I give him my serenity. I give him my appetite. The only thing I didn't give him was my sobriety. And my sponsor says, Paul, you got it. Just ongoing forgiveness, forgiveness. I'd be driving around and I knew who it was. I'd be driving around the neighborhood and I'd see him walking. The dog that I picked out of the litter is walking my dog. I said to my sponsor, but that's my dog. He goes, is he cruel to the dog? No. Does the dog like him? He said, he seems to. He said, then leave it alone. Get your fingerprints off it. I got no money. I'm driving a Nissan Altima with 140,000 miles on it. My ex-wife's driving a BMW X5. I used to call, I said, oh, there goes child support. And my sponsor said, you better stop that. You better knock that off. It sounds cute and funny. You know what you're doing? You're post-dating a resentment for yourself. Just like you post-date a check. You're post-dating that little funny, oh, there goes Chaz. Let it go. You give that money and you forget about it. Don't go there. Once again, doing things I don't want to do in AA, taking actions I don't believe in, and getting results I can't deny. I'll bring you full circle. That little girl, when she was graduating from St. Francis, my daughter Kristen, the little girl, 129th Street St. Francis Church in Bell Harbor, Rockaway. We've all moved down the road. I got Dahlia, my little daughter, she's in a stroller. She's about a year old. And they have a graduation ceremony at the church for the 8th graders. And it's packed. Each family gets a half a pew. And it's strictly enforced. And I get to the church late. And I got Dahlia in the stroller. And I come in late. And I get up and the squeeze into the pew. And who's sitting there? Him. That guy. I had to squeeze in, guys. Left the stroller on the side of the aisle. I had to squeeze in. When I tell you he's good man, you couldn't have put this piece of paper between my shoulder and his shoulder. That's how close we were sitting together. But I'm going to tell you something. I was free. I don't know what was going through his head. I'm not a mind reader. But I was sitting watching my daughter walk across, getting her diploma, free. No resentments, no twist in the stomach, no twist in the sphincter, just sitting there, enjoying the moment. And one more time, a reminder, the men in Alcoholics Anonymous have never steered me wrong. And I stepped out of the thing that night and I called my sponsor. And I said to my sponsor, thank you. Thank you for making me take the high road. It was lonely. But boy, thank God it was the road to go. Thanks for telling me nothing to prove. Nobody to prove it to. Let it go. I said, let it go. I'm letting everything go to my leg. I'm like Switzerland here. He said, Paul, let it go. Let it go. And I'm so glad that I could have that conversation just during September, August, with my daughter going to college. I don't remember ever throwing mommy under the bus. It's because if you use men and Alcoholics Anonymous, you've showed me. You didn't tell me, you showed me the way. Other men would come to me who've been through divorces. Paul, let me tell you what worked. And more importantly, let me tell you what didn't work. And they share their experience, strength, and hope with me. And then we get to, like, you know, I'll talk a little bit more tomorrow about the joy of living in my life. But I just think to myself, I am so glad taking those actions with my sponsor and taking those actions I didn't want to take, you know, and not going through alone. So if you're new here, I mean, because I was, I'm honest with you, you know, Burr Hugs Kettle, going through that divorce, I was like hanging on. I mean, I can't do this. And just let it go and get free. That's the wonderful thing about Alcoholics Anonymous. What price are you willing to pay to be free in AA? I grew up in Northern Ireland and we talked about freedom and would sit in pubs singing about freedom, would even march in the streets for freedom. I would have known freedom would have jumped up next to me. I'm free today. And I'm free because of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you people showed me this. I'll end on one story with what price you're willing to pay. I'm back in Ireland. I'm sober. I'm at a meeting. Now, years ago before, in Craigavon, where I was grew up, crazy place to live. All the people from Belfast moved down to Craigavon. And we're at this house party because the pubs close at 11:30. So you'd all go to somebody's house and drink. And my friend was sitting on a chair and a guy came up behind him. The guy had a bit of an argument. And the guy came up behind him with a knife and stuck the knife in his neck all the way down to the hilt. And it was like one of those things that, you know, give the last rites twice. Had to have 3 or 4 operations. He eventually gets sober, my friend who got stabbed in the neck. I know him very well to this day. So I'm home in Ireland. I'm a couple of years sober. My friend who got stabbed in the neck, he's sober a couple more years than me. We're sitting at a meeting in Craigavon. Small little meeting. This little provincial town. And everybody in the meeting knows this story. It was a well-known story in the neighborhood. And it's a cold evening, a rainy, damp Irish night. And just, you know, that hum before the meeting starts, everybody's talking and whatnot. And just before the meeting was going to start, the door opened. And who walked in? The guy that had stabbed him in the neck. And the whole meeting just fell as quiet as we are now. Because everybody knew the significance of what was just happened. Everybody knew the story. It was a well-known story. And my friend got up out of his seat, Paddy. And he walked over and he shook the man's hand. The other guy was called Barry. And he brought him over and set him down and says, Barry, it's good to see you. And we'll drink tea over there. He got him a half cup of tea, put it into Barry's hands. You could tell he was having a bad time. I was driving home with Paddy that night. I says, Paddy, if I hadn't have seen that with my own 2 eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. He says, Paul, if I have to forgive the man that almost took my life to be free in Alcoholics Anonymous, then that's a price I'm willing to pay. And I thought to myself at that time in my sobriety, what price am I willing to pay? And it wasn't very much. And the story has a sad ending. That guy never did get sober. And he would die with a brain hemorrhage and a grand mal seizure coming off a drunk. But my friend Paddy's still sober today. And it's one more reminder. When we come on weekends like this, I remind him one, the sharing in the small rooms has been so wonderful. One more time. What price am I willing to pay today to be free in Alcoholics Anonymous? What am I still holding on to that I won't let go of? Because I want to say to my disease today, no, not today. I want to be free with my brothers in Alcoholics Anonymous. And one more time, guys, I thank you for my freedom, and that's all I'm going to say. Thank you very much.